But this year, there was a stirring of my heart to present it from a different perspective. Through the years, last year we did Barabbas. He certainly knew what it was like for Jesus to take his place. I've done the Apostle Peter, a Roman centurion, Joseph of Arimathea. But today, I believe God wants you to hear the story of the resurrection by way of a woman, the person who was the first witness, who actually first saw Jesus raised from the dead. And to be able to hear her story, I trust will make an impact for you. This is the story of Mary Magdalene in a drama entitled First Witness.
I grew up in the town of Magdala. It was the largest market town on the Sea of Galilee. It was just north of the town of Tiberias, the capital city of the tetrarch Herod Antipas. Magdala was an exciting place to grow up. So much to see, so much to do. Commerce. We benefited from two trade routes that brought many people, Greeks, Gentiles. We were also at the south end of the plain of Gennesaret, so agriculture blossomed. We enjoyed a tasty harvest, so much variety in our food, so much to do. I loved to sit and watch the boats being built that would be sold for use on the lake. I could sit for hours and taste the salt in the air as the fishermen prepared their catch to be sold in the markets of Jerusalem and even as far away as Rome. It seemed everyone was rich in Magdala. I know we were. We had benefited and were very wealthy. But Magdala had a dark side as well. People didn't talk about it, but you could feel it. It was especially bad after the chariot races outside of town at the Hippodrome. Greeks and Gentiles from all over came to these races, and they brought with them their idols and their magical arts, many things forbidden by the law of Moses. When I was a child, I was frightened by all of it. As I grew older, I became used to it. As an adult, I had grown numb to it. So numb that I began to do some of the things forbidden by the law of Moses. I didn't understand the danger. That danger became clear to me as a darkness settled inside of me. I had opened doors to things that I didn't understand, but they had imprisoned me. The chains were heavier than you can imagine. I felt an insanity creeping up inside of me. I felt myself, my person, being pushed down and suppressed. It was overwhelming. It got to the point where I just wanted to die. My friends had abandoned me. My family didn't know what to do with me. And then they heard about a rabbi who was different from any of the others. He was freeing people. He was healing sicknesses. He was freeing people from demonic oppression. They wasted no time. They packed me up when they heard that he had come to Capernaum. It wasn't even a day's travel away. And I really don't remember the trip there, but I don't think it was very pleasant for my parents. I do remember the crowds when we got there. And I remember it was as if they had parted, and I could see him, this rabbi, this Jesus. And when he saw me, those things inside of me began to scream. They began to tell me to leave, and I fought them, and they clawed. They threw me to the ground. And I could hear blasphemies coming from my own lips. It was frightening. And then he spoke to them. He told them to leave me alone. He told them to get out of me. And it was instant. The feeling of freedom was amazing. I lay on the ground, exhausted. He came over to me. He put his hand on my shoulder. He helped me to my feet. But nothing compares to the feeling I got when I looked into his eyes and I saw the love, the compassion, the forgiveness. To feel forgiven for all that I had done, to know in that moment I was forgiven. It was amazing. He told me I could go in peace, and my parents took me back home. I don't really remember that trip either, but I remember getting back home, and I told everybody what Jesus had done for me. I told them how free I was. I told my friends, I told my neighbors, I told complete strangers, and the people that knew me, they could see the change. They knew that dark place that I had been in. And the people that I didn't know, I could see this hope shining in their eyes, something I didn't even realize was missing from our world. It made me realize there was something I wanted to be a part of. I took my wealth, and I immediately went back to Capernaum. I was glad to see that he was still there. I joined the other women that were there, important women, like Joanna, the wife of Chuza, who was the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, many, many women, and they supported him. And what a whirlwind of activity followed that decision. We traveled all over Capernaum, the Decapolis, Judea, and the crowds followed Jesus everywhere. They wanted to hear him preach. They wanted to hear him teach. They wanted to be set free, and he did not disappoint them. Blind people were given their sight. Deaf people could hear. The mute could speak. The lame could walk. They got up and they danced in praise and in freedom. To see a leper covered in sores, from one minute to the next, covered in clean skin, healthy. It was amazing. Words cannot describe it. I wish you could have been there. I wish you could have seen it. Everyone was excited except our religious leaders. They wanted him stopped. They did everything they could to stop Jesus. They called him a fraud. They called him a half-wit. They accused him of being demon-possessed. Anything and everything that they could do to stop him from speaking. And he tried to point them to the truth. He tried to show them truth, and they didn't see it, or they denied it. He outwitted them every single time with honesty, with authority. It was an exciting time. It was amazing and awe-inspiring, which is why we didn't understand when he began to tell us that he would be betrayed, and by one of us, that he was going to be arrested and beaten and flogged and mocked, and we didn't understand. It was overwhelming. Peter denied it. He told him that he didn't know what he was talking about, that he had to be confused. And that was when he realized that we didn't understand. He spent more time with us over the next couple of months. He said that he needed to teach us kingdom principles. He still spent time doing the healings and the miracles, amazing ones, like when he rose Lazarus from the dead. Mary and Martha's brother had sent word that Lazarus was sick, and Jesus did nothing. And then they sent word that he had died. And then Jesus went. And everybody was so sad. And Mary, she told him that if he had just been there, Lazarus wouldn't have died. Jesus wept at her words. But then he called to Lazarus. And Lazarus came stumbling out of the grave, covered in grave cloths, a look of confusion on his face. And everybody was rejoicing and happy and merry, and it was like it had been. The celebration in Bethany that night was wonderful. It felt like it had felt. It was maybe a month later when we went to Jerusalem. I would love to tell you about the crowds crying, "Hosanna, Hosanna to the King." about how he preached in the temple during the day, outwitting the religious leaders as he always did, how he taught to us in the evening. And I sat at his feet as I always did, and it felt like it always had, but it wasn't. The last supper that he enjoyed with us when we celebrated the Passover was when we found out that it was Judas Iscariot who was to betray him. And then he was arrested. And for a moment we had hope, asked, "Do you want me to free him, to release him, as is the custom?" But the crowd said no. They wanted him killed. We didn't understand. We were so frightened. We were confused. What would happen? What would happen to us? What would happen to me? Would my demons come back? Was darkness going to win? Then they brought him out into the square, and they beat him, and they flogged him, and they mocked him. One of the soldiers took a thorn and wove it into a crown and put it on his head, and it pierced his head, and the blood, as it trickled down his face, I think that was the hardest for me in that moment. And then it was time. They put his cross on his back, and it was time to walk up the hill. But they had beaten him so badly, he couldn't even carry his cross. He stumbled. They called somebody else out of the crowd to carry it up. And then they did it. They hung him on the cross, and I kept hoping that something would happen, that he would come down off of that cross. We couldn't leave. A lot of us were there. His mother, Mary, her sister, John. It was so difficult to watch him taking his last breaths. And the moment he died, it was as if the earth had screamed out in agony. It shook, and a great wind was so powerful, it felt as though it would blow everything over. I think in that moment, the guards, the soldiers, recognized that they had just killed the Son of God. Joseph and Nicodemus took his body down, and they carried it away, and we followed. We followed them to the tomb, and I think they were in a hurry because the Sabbath was fast approaching, so they didn't do a very good job of wrapping the body. They rolled a stone in front of the tomb, and we waited for Sabbath to be over. The moment the sun peeked over the horizon at the end of Sabbath, we rushed back to the grave with our herbs, with our grave cloths, and when we got there, the stone was rolled away from the tomb. There were guards, soldiers, laying on the ground. We went inside. There were these two angels. We were frightened. We fell to the ground. And they said to us, "Be not afraid. We know you seek Jesus, who was crucified." And then they said to us, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" And they told us to hurry back and find the apostles and tell them what we had seen. They told us that everything Jesus said had transpired, that he had to be delivered into the hands of sinful man, he had to die, and that he had risen on the third day, just like he said he would. We left immediately and went to go and find the apostles. And when we found them, would you believe they didn't believe us? They told us that we were confused, that we didn't know what we were talking about. And finally, we convinced Peter and John to at least go look for themselves. And they did. They rushed back to the tomb. I tried to keep up, but I couldn't. By the time I got there, they had already left. I was confused. I was scared. I didn't know where the body was. And I went inside and I sat down and I cried. I don't know how long I sat there, but a man came and he spoke to me. He said, "Who are you looking for?" and why are you crying? I thought he was the gardener, and I asked him where the body was, if he knew what had happened to it. And then he said my name, and I knew that voice. Jesus, he was alive. Darkness had not won. The devil did not defeat him. Death had not destroyed him. It was instead his victory. Jesus gave me a message. I, Mary Magdalene, was the first to see him alive. He gave me a message of hope, healing, and wholeness. And that is the message I bring to you today. Jesus set me free from my prison, and he can do the same for you. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen.
The undone, undone. Nothingness
brought to naught. All from an empty tomb. Nightmare over. Night eclipsed. Emptiness filled. Loneliness taken captive. He comes. He sees. He is conquered. And in being conquered, conquers yet. The shattered becomes whole as the destroyed destroys the destroyer. Now we know. From ignorance flows epiphany. The clues were buried deep, like winter's seeds in search of spring, like lilies longing to erupt from beneath the snow, burst forth the flowering of ancient promises. Worlds shattered and reborn. Castles of contentment attacked and breached. The blood of preconceptions shed. The end of nothing, the beginning of everything. Cosmos turned inside out and stretched to eternity. All from an empty tomb. All from an empty tomb? All. Lord, thank you for Mary Magdalene's story. First witness. One who knew firsthand the delivering power of Jesus. One who saw, testified to his death and burial. One called by you to testify to his resurrection from the dead. An eyewitness. A story that can be believed. And Lord, I ask that if there is anyone here in this sanctuary today that has never experienced the good news of Jesus Christ, that this day would be their day. That the empty tomb and the cross would be more than just historical facts, but reality for them. I ask that your Holy Spirit would convict of the need for a Savior. That the reason that Jesus died is because of our sin, for the wages of sin is death. But you were willing, O God, to receive the substitution of your Son, who took our sin and gave us his righteousness. And so I pray for any here that today are in a place of lostness, covered with guilt and shame, at war with the living God, that today the war could end, that they would bow the knee and trust you with their lives. I pray that they would not be able to leave here today without conviction of the Spirit. I pray that they could not make it through this week without conviction of the Holy Spirit. That this would be a day, God, that you call them to the foot of the cross and then take them to the empty tomb to show them both your love and your power, both your grace and goodness and your greatness. And for those of us here, Lord, who know you, may the reality of the resurrection never become too familiar to us. May it always carry for us that expectation, anticipation, and celebration that you, Jesus, now hold the keys of death and the grave. and that the Savior who died, was buried, and rose again is the Savior who ascended to heaven, whoever lives to make intercession for us, and who is coming again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So that certainly we do have hope for the future. Thank you, God. And if you are here and you have never known Christ, or maybe you have and walked away, the Lord calls you back to himself. And where you are in that seat, it's to acknowledge the truth of what God says about you and about him. For the word of God makes it clear that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But that God is a God of infinite mercy and grace, and that if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And that if you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that he has been raised from the dead, you will be saved. Dismiss us, O Lord, we pray, with your grace. May we be carriers of good news to all those we meet. And like Mary, proclaim Jesus, raised from the dead. It's his name we pray. Amen and amen. Happy Easter, blessed resurrection. Go in the grace of our God, church. Amen.